of the fourth chapter, where he said, if Abram were justified by works, he have whereof to boast, but not before God. And Paul talked about rejoicing in temptations, not because they produced perfect works, but because they demonstrated existentially the keeping power of God. There's worlds of difference between it. Because what Paul says is, rejoice when you enter temptations, because the temptation gone through produces triedness, and many temptations gone through proves up the ability to go through them, and this gives the hope that God will finish the job, and he keeps it rooted and grounded in the stability of that wondrous mind, coupled with the revelation that God gave to Paul, that it is a faith-producing act, not a perfection work-producing act. And you got to choose, my friend. And this voice, as long as it's on TV, is going to force the choice. You say, well, don't you believe James to be in the Bible? Sure do. I want to have fun with him. I believe he should be in the Bible as a servant of the Lord, the servant of God, who writes a letter to the 12 tribes, who doesn't fairly tell us when it's James talking and when it's the Lord talking, and therefore it puts a responsibility on us to use the whole Word of God to sort out what James says and see what's consistent with the whole Word of God, what isn't. We use it to polarize and teach the truth that is eternal. That's gutsy preaching. Instead of water brain preaching. Now when Balaam's ass talked, other scriptures reveal the angel was really there. Some of these television evangelists ass talk, and other scripture reveals they're wrong. It just teaches there are some asses you should listen to and some you shouldn't. All in favor, say aye. Grace be to you and peace from God the Father. It is Satan's desire to get us working before faith is inspired by the wondrous message of the cross and the faithfulness of God to redeem and the joyous news, the gospel, the good news of grace and cessation of againstness that opens the door for God's Spirit to come in and help us with those temptations. Am I boring you?
No, sir.
I'm not too sure that anybody wants me to continue on this subject. I'm very sure there are lots of people who don't want me to continue. How many of you want me to continue on Galatians, just rubbing it in their face? Tell you what, I want to play I want to know, and I want to play I don't like it. And then I want to play I've had it. And then I want to play East Berlin Church Walls. Those four in a row, you got them? Play I want to know, and let's see if anybody wants me to continue. I better see every phone off the hook. Well, we go bye-bye. Fort Worth and the Metroplex area, all of Kansas, Joplin, Missouri, and all the other wonderful people that joined us right now. We've been live for an hour and a half. I want to show you something. Only take one more. In fact, don't take any more calls in here. Answer the phones at King's House 1 because I want to teach right away. But I want to show you something. I want the two handhelds to concentrate on our map over there. Try to get pictures back far enough. Don't stand in the same place, Ron. Try to go around and get a full picture some way or other. It looks like we're invading. Back off until we can get a picture of the whole map for a minute or two. Look at the way we're crawling up the West Coast. Look at that, the way we're crawling up the West Coast. That's people that have called and supported. Look at that, called and or supported. Now look at that central area around Texas, and look the way it's suddenly crawled up through those, up through Tennessee, well, up through Texas first and up into Kansas. Then we'll go over to Tennessee. Zoom in on Texas and Kansas and Oklahoma. Yeah, that other picture you had is the one. That's a good one. Isn't that something? Look at the way we've zoomed in on the heart of Texas and up into Oklahoma. Now go over there to Tennessee. Look what we're doing to Tennessee. Now go up into the central area. Isn't that nice? Look at that. I go down to Miami area. Got some heads in the way, so use the other camera. Don't anybody move. We got another camera. Look at that. I said, shove it out into the ocean where the islands are. You know, we don't want to cover the whole state of Florida up. Now go up the East Coast, New York, Washington, D.C., New England area. Look at that. Now we're going to start next Sunday night in Chicago. Go find Chicago. We'll start in Chicago Sunday night. We're going to cover that whole surrounding area. And all those individual buttons on there in Canada and all over the United States represent people that own private dishes. Of course, some of the private dish people are lost in the massive areas around where we're on stations. Go back off and let's see all those dishes scattered around throughout the United States, up into Canada. You zoom in a little bit there so we can see the difference between blue marks on the map and pins on the map. I'm telling you, we're invading. Isn't that nice? Gonna be long we cover that whole map. Then look out. Look out. Go up near Rochester, New York. See over into the Ottawa, Canada area. And I'll go back. You're in New York. There we are. There's Rochester. See those little buttons across the lake on the other side into Ottawa, Canada? Come to me. Come to me, as I said earlier, in an earlier hour, and I really need some help in Kansas and Missouri. I want every one of you that's listening to me that are glad I've come to Kansas and Missouri, particularly. Down in Nashville and Memphis, Tennessee. I've taught on everything from the pyramid to the Trilateral Commission, from the stars to Atlantis beneath the sea, from sleeping walruses to bird's nest soup to leaf-eating ants in Brazil. But nothing has worked people up like the last 2 days where I'm teaching from the Bible on grace and peace. It's like they don't care what you learn as long as you don't find out. Grace be to you and peace from God the Father. Now, it's okay that we tell you that you can have unmerited favor if we at the same time tell you, damn it, you better earn it. And walk in such a way as to prove you deserve it. It's okay to tell you that God's not against you, as long as we qualify it. That was up until this minute when you heard it. From now on out, you make one false move and he's on your case. To have the brass, the unmitigated gall, and whatever else it takes to tell you unabashedly, grace, unmerited favor be to you, and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. That is awful. Now, I have people in every camp. Jerry Falwell would be very surprised to know how many on his staff secretly communicate with me. Some of these TV evangelists would be surprised to know how many of their relatives call me quite regularly. Even the wives of some of them.
Sleepless nights.
And tell me what's the next thing they're going to do to try to counteract me. And I found out today that a national grassroots movement had been unleashed, they thought secretly, to organize telephone attacks on the stations that I'm on to get me off the air. That I would dare to tell you grace and peace. Teach on Galatians. And suggest that there might have been a difference of opinion between James and Paul, and that Paul was right and James was wrong. They've unleashed a telephone attack. Now, most of the station's managers are not too moved by that, but they need to be armed with counter information. So I'm asking a favor, and I don't want... You know, I'd like to believe that every single person that hears me right now that wants me to stay in your city will say, you know, I'm going to strike a blow for freedom. You don't have to do much. Just look up the telephone number of your local television station. If you're watching me on cable and it's carrying a local television station, call the station, not the cable company. Make up your mind that every member of your household tomorrow will call your station and compliment them for having me on and say, look, there's some of us out here that are intelligent. We know how to do something besides dial a telephone, so we've been doing other things. But now we want you to know that we can also dial a telephone. Will you do that? Particularly in Kansas. If you want me to stay, you better do it. Now, see, I'm so situated, I don't have to be on any station. I'm up there 24 hours a day on satellite. And free as a bird. But I don't have to be on any station. Therefore, I will only be on the stations where the people that want me do their part. Now, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I do my part. I just said okay to two more stations today, Chicago and Honolulu. We would have been on Honolulu last Sunday night, but they were having trouble getting their microwave worked up, and another station in New York City, and they would have picked us up as I announced earlier in the week, but their dish was lined up right through a microwave path, so they had to move it and do some technical work before they could pick us up. So we'll be going on three more stations. And I'm going to keep teaching on grace and peace. Yeah. I one marvel, Paul said. I'm going to race through this and get to where I left off. Page 229, if you've got a Bible like mine, I'm teaching on the book of Galatians. I marvel that you're so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. The unmerited favor of Christ, which is not another. But there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. Perverts. But though we, or an angel from heaven, that would include any other servant of God, wouldn't it? That dares to believe even an angel could be wrong. I tell you, a third of them were at one time. Though we or an angel from heaven preach any other good news unto you than that which we preached unto you, let him be accursed. That means damned by God. Damned by God. And unless you think I didn't mean it first time, let me say it again. As we said before, verse 9, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye've received, let him be accursed. Now apparently they've been getting other messages. Because he says, I marvel that you're so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, another brand, which isn't the gospel at all. Now apparently they came with various credentials. For example, we come from James, Brother Jimmy. It's okay to call it. Most people, James and Jim's exchangeable, right? Brother Jimmy. So he has to tell them his conversion by God, his being taught by God, and an experience he had at Jerusalem. Because some had come up from Jerusalem. And let's really fix on Jerusalem now. That's headquarters. That's where the policies are set, the dictum is declared, the doctrines are resolved, and the rules are catapulted from. Now there be many Jerusalems. We got them all over the United States. Well, Paul, he went to the real Jerusalem right there in Palestine. He says, I went with Barnabas, my fellow preacher, and took Titus with me. Now, Barnabas, he went with me up into the territory of Galatia to preach. And I took Barnabas with me and took Titus, a new convert, and went down to Jerusalem. But Titus, who went with us, being a Greek, he wasn't circumcised. I want to ask you all a question. What kind of show-and-tell services did they have to get these facts straight in that New Testament church? I mean, testimony meetings, that must have really been something. First Church of Chippendales. I read a lot. Titus wasn't circumcised. Verse 3, chapter 2, but neither Titus who was with me, better turn the lights down. But neither Titus who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. And that because of false brethren unawares brought in, they imported spies. Imported spies who came in privately to spy out our liberty. Restroom lookers. To spy out our liberty which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage. Poor old Titus went to the restroom. And they had used God's money to import peeping toms to hang around the toilet to catch a glimpse of Titus working for Jesus. I work hard for my money. You know that song? To whom we gave place by subjection, not for an hour. Why didn't Paul give way? That the truth of the gospel might continue with you. Do you know he was alone? I mean, one man stemmed this entire tide of legalism. If they'd have had telephones, do you know how much telephoning would have been done to keep him from preaching? He didn't give way, not for an hour. Why? That the truth of the good news might continue with you. But of these who seemed to be somewhat, whatsoever they were, it maketh no matter to me, God accepted no man's person, for they who seemed to be somewhat in conference. Go to the meetings and they lead the parade. They're the bishoprics. Ruling over everybody. They seem to be somewhat. They added nothing to Paul. But contrarywise, when they saw that the good news of uncircumcision was committed unto me, as, now look what those King James people do. Paul's already said, anything else is not the gospel. You notice that as the gospel of circumcision was unto Peter, you notice the gospel's in italics, added by the King James translators. Paul never called that the gospel. Paul, even in compromise, he never gave an inch. He says, when they saw that the gospel of uncircumcision was committed unto me, as circumcision unto Peter. He didn't call it the gospel. Those italics words are added by the translators. For he that wrought effectually in Peter the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty in me toward the Gentiles. Paul was very effective with the Jews. Paul was very effective with the Gentiles. Am I boring you?
No, sir.
And when James, Cephas, that's Peter, in case you don't know, it's not four people. Cephas is Peter. When James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars. We got them all over the United States. They seem to be pillars. The only thing that gives them that appearance is their unmoving quality. Who seem to be pillars. You know what? Christians would rather see violence and sex on TV than to see me teach the Word of God like this. Who seem to be pillars perceive the unmerited favor that was given unto me. They gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship. That we should go unto the heathen. God gave us grace, so they gave us the right hand of fellowship as long as we'd get out of their hair and go to the heathen. They unto the circumcision. Berlin was divided. And the wall was put up. East Berlin Wall churches. Only that we should remember the poor, the same which I also was forward to do. They didn't have to tell him to do that. He is eager to do that. So he left Jerusalem. Truce. The church became North and South Korea. The church became North and South Vietnam before it was reunited. The church became East and West Berlin. And James and his crowd built up the wall and said, "You go to the heathen." Okay, they went. But now, those Judaizers are going to jump the wall and try to retake the territory. There was war in the New Testament church, settled by a truce. Now, here they come with their circumcising instruments to cut on the saints at Antioch. But when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face. Stood right up there and confronted him. Apostle though he may be, designated by the church at Jerusalem, apostle to the circumcised. They sent him. God sent Paul. Only they would. Well, wait a minute. But when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face. Because he was to be blamed. He was wrong. How was he wrong? Well, before certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles. Worldly food. Choked chickens. He didn't ask, "Has this been prepared kosher?" Just eat. But when certain came from James, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. A circumcision is just a type of fleshly surface demonstration of your relationship with God. It is self-inflicted outward demonstration that you conform to God's covenants. Paul is saying, unmerited favor is given. Cessation of againstness is your wondrous privilege. And God comes to dwell in you as you are. Circumcision is the type of self externally inflicted proof of conformity to God's covenant. And it wasn't just circumcision. It was avoidance of certain meats that traditionally were viewed as wrong. It was avoidance of certain activities on certain days. It was perpetuation of legalism. Thou shalt not, and thou shalt. Now, as long as the brethren from James weren't there to watch him, Peter could sit down and eat and not worry whether or not what he was eating violated a Jerusalem thou shalt not till they showed up. Then he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them that were of the circumcision. And the other Jews dissembled likewise with him. Now Barnabas had been traveling with Paul, watching the good news of the gospel convert whole sections of cities. But when he watched these Jews from Jerusalem begin to dissemble from the Gentiles, Barnabas himself went along with them. When I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, they called their dissembling and separation walking uprightly. Paul called it walking not uprightly. I said unto Peter before them all, and he dumped on him. You want me to continue?
Yes, sir.
Prove it. I haven't heard whether the folks in Kansas want me to or not, and whether or not they'll call, and likewise Dallas-Fort Worth. The songs I want to know. If you don't jam the phones, won't go any further with this, as I already know it. I don't have to teach it to myself. If you don't want me to, don't call. If you want me to, you better call. Play it again. I'm on page 230. If you got a Bible like mine, where Paul was confronting some perverts. Now, don't take any more calls in here. I want to start teaching quickly. Play our theme song. I've had it. And when this song is finished, try to be off the phone so I can get right into the teaching for the cities that just joined us. You can still call. They'll take the calls over at King's House 1. Are you all off the phone?
Yes, sir.
When Peter was come to Antioch. Now Paul has said, one sent from God, Paul an apostle, unto the churches of Galatia, grace, unmerited favor, and peace, cessation of againstness, unto you from God and the Lord Jesus Christ. That's all you need. Then he says, I marvel you're so soon turned from the gospel to another one which really isn't one. And he says, if anybody comes preaching, we or anybody else, even an angel, any other gospel, let him be accursed. There's some that would pervert it, he says. Then he tells of his background and his calling, called and taught by God. And he says, I went down to Jerusalem. And he describes a controversy there. He took Titus, a new convert, a Greek, a Gentile, and he wasn't circumcised. And the church at Jerusalem imported spies to follow him in the restroom to peep on him. Check to see if he was circumcised. Paul got so angry, even at Jerusalem, headquarters, he said, I wouldn't give place for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. And when they couldn't argue him down, they said, okay, we'll divide. East and West Berlin, North and South Korea, North and South Vietnam. You go to the heathen. Just remember the poor. They put a premium on the poor. Poor and the butchered. You go to the heathen. They appointed Peter minister to the circumcised. But now with the wall divided, they now send Peter over into West Berlin, into South Korea. to Antioch. Verse 11. There, out of their territory, Paul withstood him to his face. Why? Because when he was there alone, he just gobbled up the worldly food right along with the Gentiles, never asked any questions whether or not it violated any of the rules. Just, you know, this servant, Mondavi Reserve 74, and he swigged it down. Until certain from James arrived. Brother Jimmy's representatives. Policemen for legalism. And he sneaked away from that table till he almost turned the chair over. The other Jews followed him. And even Barnabas, that had ministered among the Greeks with Paul, also. Paul said, wait a minute. When I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before all of them, thou being a Jew, livest after the manner of the Gentiles. Look, you would never tell these Jews how you were acting before they got here, so I'll tell them. If you could act like a Gentile before they got here, why are you trying to make all of us act like Jews after they get here? Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ. But you notice something very subtle there. If you can't read the Greek, as many of you can't, it might be worthwhile for us to stock the New Testament in 26 translations. There's a whole Bible in 26 translations. What it does is it takes 26 translations, which are listed in the front, and where there's any kind of significant variation, it points them out. I never have looked at this Peep and Tom section in 26 translations. Let me take a look at it. The King James is in bold type. See? How'd that happen? Pages are stuck together. How'd that happen? There. See, the King James is in bold type. Can you see that close enough to see that on TV? Get in closer. See the King James in bold type? Then the other translations are in smaller type, 20th century New Testament, and there's a code in the front to enable you to identify these. New English Bible. Not too much deviation on the salutation, so they only give you two alternatives. When it gets real controversial, they'll give you a whole bunch of them. Now he says, there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. Let's look at that one. Moffat says it simply means that certain individuals are unsettling you. They want to distort the gospel of Christ. Wasn't he nice? Phillips' translation. But they're obviously men who are upsetting your faith with the travesty of the gospel of Christ. 20th century New Testament. But then I know there are people who are harassing you and who want to pervert the good news of Christ. Rotherham, to change the glad message of Christ. I like Phillips down here. Though they preach anything else to you, may he be damned. Some of you love to read Phillips' translation. Well, that's one you maybe overlooked. May he be damned. Now let's go to the Peep and Tom bit. What to do with that? There we go. Okay, here we are, verse 4. That because of false brethren unawares brought in, who came in privately to spy out our liberty which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage. The question came up. Because of some false brethren who had been smuggled into the meeting secretly. and who slipped in to spy on the freedom that we have in Christ Jesus so as to bring us under bondage again. I want to know how they were spying in the meeting. Listen to what Philip says. In fact, the suggestion would never have arisen but for the presence of some pseudo-Christians who wormed their way into our meeting to spy on the liberty which we enjoy in Christ Jesus and then attempted to tie us up with rules and regulations. The 20th century New Testament on the next verse says, why, we didn't for a minute yield submission to them that the truth of the good news might be yours always. Phillips, we didn't give these men an inch. For the truth of the gospel for you and all Gentiles was at stake. I'm like an old Phillips more every minute. Now, let's go here to where we were on Peter. Peter came up to Antioch. Do what Peter did. What Philip says. It happened like this. Until the arrival of some of James' companions, he, Peter, was in the habit of eating his meal with the Gentiles. And after they came, however, he withdrew and ate separately from the Gentiles out of sheer fear of what the Jews might think. Knox says on the next verse, the rest of the Jews were no less false to their principles. Barnabas himself was carried away by their insincerity. Knox then says concerning the next, so when I found that they were not following the true path of the gospel, I said to Cephas in front of them all, since thou who art born a Jew dost follow the Gentile, not the Jewish way of life, he told on him. Told on him. That's what I think I'm going to do one of these nights. That's what they're all scared of. See, I've been around all these preachers. I'm beginning to feel it's time to be more and more like Paul. And they see, I know all these preachers. I've played with all of them. I've played golf with them, listened to their dirty stories. I've flown on their jets with some of them. I've had them open their hearts and minds to me. In the days that I traveled for years being a consultant of 31 of the largest churches in America, they used to call and talk to me. The problems they were having with their wives. Some of them have smoked my cigars and drank my wine. I think I want to tell on them. Had their affairs. I remember one of them said to me, Gene, I ain't like you. I just got to have a woman. And he said to me, now, you can do whatever you want. You know, I'm not going to condemn you. I said, wait a minute. I don't need your license. I ain't married and got kids like you. I knew jolly well what I wanted to do. I said, what about your wife? He said, well, she's going crazy anyway. You wonder who that one was?
Yeah.
I may run a truth magazine one of these nights. The truth about Reverend so-and-so from his four ex-wives. That's why they don't like me. See, I'm just like Paul. I didn't know. See, Paul knew the way Peter lived when James's crowd from headquarters weren't eyeballing him. So he said, I said to Cephas, in front of them all, since thou who art a born Jew dost follow the Gentile, not the Jewish way of life,